Winspiration, the way to the essential. On UK Health Radio, Winspiration brings wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. Together, we can shape the world we want to live in. So let's get real and create the idea. Be extraordinary. Hello and welcome to another episode of Winspiration Radio, wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. And today you will get some very special ideas, information and inspiration. I have a guest and it's really touching for me also, and I feel blessed that she is on this episode because I met her the Winspiration Day 2005 when we did the first Winspiration Day in Berlin. We had a program ready and someone came and says, oh, here's a young lady and she wants to sing. And I was hesitating because the program was ready. But they convinced me and then she came. And first, a little bit irritated. She couldn't see. She is blind and was guided on stage, young and yet kind of tiny person. And we said, how? What will that be? But okay, Winspiration is for everybody. And then she was singing. And she sang at that time her famous song, I Believe. And we were all blown away for the power of this lady and the song. And the year after 2006 on Winspiration Day, Ban Ban, she came again. And she got a award, Winspiration Award, and touched again a lot of people. And now, oh, nearly 17 years later, she is here on the call to inspire also you. Thank you for the past and thank you for being on this episode here, Joanna Zimmer.
Thanks for having me.
You got the award because you impressed us all and you're such an inspiring person. And then also, you know, Winspiration idea or the day idea came up when we had in Germany the saying we have 2 million kids living in households of welfare. And theoretically, especially someone who was blind or has other disabilities called what? Handicapped. But you are so full of power, expression, running marathons and everything. And the so-called not handicapped kids can't make it. So what is the real difference to make it in life? Or if you first like to add something about your life.
Oh, first of all, I think it's a great privilege if you are surrounded by love, right, when you grow up and support. And then from there, you can always, I think, spread your wings and fly. Of course, there are obstacles and they're also important because you have to learn, like, to really push through situations. And it's very hard to tell, though. But I think when you learn to really stay with yourself, and I learned that also through our 3-year-old son, which I think is the greatest, achievement so far. But I learned a lot through this, the time we're allowed to spend with him, because children are really wonderful. They know exactly when you let them, they know exactly what's important for them. They have a great feeling for themselves. And what we're doing again and again is not to really let our children show us. It's not that they take over. It's not that they don't have the experience, right? They cannot make like decisions. But to have them on the same level of worthiness.
Yes.
And to really, show them that we really respect them. And it's not that you let them discuss everything. It's not that, of course, when you cross the street, there's a danger. You know? We can't say, oh, yeah, they know what they're doing. You just let them walk over. But to really understand them is one of the first very, very important things we get to learn when we grow up. And from there, to really feel that we're respected, that we're hopefully supported. And from there, we could make better politicians. We would make better decisions for our future. So it starts so early on. And I was very blessed to have, I had a kind of chaotic childhood, honestly, but I had some really great abilities. And first of all, of course, I was loved by my parents, but they didn't think that much. Like we nowadays maybe think a lot like, is this good for my child? We read books and stuff. Back then it was like, oh, it has to work out somehow. That's okay. But I had a great person who was my grandmother, and she was a very, very inspiring force. And she, for example, never said to me when I was like a bit grumpy as a child, so that can happen. She never said, "Oh, you're grumpy, shut up," you know, like, no, she said, "I think you're hungry, or I think you're tired, or maybe you need to move, you know, you need movement because you were sitting too long to wait for something," which is not good for children. And so this is interesting that she defined situations for me. She explained to them, and she never made it like made me feel guilty or made me feel bad. And that is something from there I would say a better confidence. And when I said, I was very shy, you know, as a child. So I was never just saying, "Oh, I want to sing." But when they realized that I had this a voice, you know, they would encourage me to sing like for family parties and stuff. And I was so shy. I really had to work on this. And then from there, I was in a choir, and then they asked me to do solo parts, which was a headache for me because I was not like that outspoken. But also I loved singing, and I loved and I wanted to become a singer. But then when I was in my teens, I kept that for myself. You know, I thought, oh,
very good idea.
I thought I showed them when, you know, when it's popular, they know, but I don't tell them before. But so because the thing is with this job, it's like a bit of a gamble, right? I mean, if
no, it's also in general. We just had a talk with a kind of lady. She's really a coach for very also famous people who succeeded a lot. And says, never say too early what you want, because maybe other people will just too early kill your dream. So really let it grow inside.
Exactly. It's like a plant, like a seed, right? You kind of water it. And that was... But that was not like a smart thought of mine. It was just that I was kind of shy, and I thought...
Natural intelligence.
Well, and then I found something later on as a grown-up. I was very surprised. I have to share this with you because it's really interesting for me today. And it will be something I will tell my son, and not to praise myself, like, this is how you should do it, but just to have an awareness of the wisdom we already bring. It's something we have already inside. So I found a tape when I was a grown-up, and I was going through all these old tapes and sorting through them. And now on this tape, I was 12 years old, and I was reading a bucket list, a list of things I wanted to do later. And I wouldn't have believed it if my parents would have told me. I was at this, they're just making this up, or they just glorify, you know, the kids. They're like, you know, they don't. But I heard this, you know, on the tape with my own voice when I was 12. And I said, okay, later I would like to make a record, make an album. I would like to write a book, and I would like to run a marathon. And I was 12. So when I was about 30 plus, I was listening to it, and I thought, I've done all these things. So that's interesting, because I never thought of this list again. I never did.
Yes.
And I thought, and what struck me also was, I didn't say I want to have a number one hit, or I want to make a lot of money, because these are goals you cannot really have. I don't think this is a goal you can have, because this is not something you can, well, some people say if you work hard enough, you can achieve it. But honestly, for me, that doesn't sound so realistic. This sounds like
more easy ego driven and not really.
Because the thing is, you don't make a lot of money with music, and it takes a lot of hard work to even make a little, so you can make a modest living. But the satisfaction that comes from it, that you've achieved something, is weighs much more. And this sounds, of course, you have to live on something. You cannot just live on, you know, music. This is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying this was really cool that I thought, back then I had, I think, the right goal, because you never know if you make it on the charts. And once again, what does a chart hit really do? I mean, it helped me to have a life, a good life. Like, you know, I could live from that. That's great. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that. But long term, people forget that you're on the charts, or that you had a hit, or that you, or even radios changed tremendously. A video that we had made it on a big music channel. Today, the music channel now does not exist anymore. So this is how fast it all goes. And to build a stable, a solid ground on achievements is much more important. So that you, even like 20 years from now, from back then, I could still say, you know, we can afford to have time with our son, for example. We can afford to and this brings me to the next thing. Sorry, I don't want to talk too much before your next question.
Information, wisdom, wonderful. Yes, so true. I interrupted already because there's. I just want to make for you, listener, something clear. What she said really is very early. She grew up where her granny said, "I will always love you, and if something looks like grumpy or whatever, it is not you, the soul, it's not you, the human being. Oh, there's some chemicals in your body now, and that's not you, you just have it. So we add something, like we eat now, or we take fresh air, and then everything is fine." And that is what most parents don't do. They have kids, and they says, "If you're not doing this, I don't love you." So they're connecting love and behavior. And that was, yeah, lucky what you said, there was not. And then with the wish list in 12 for the, what you call the bucket list already, it just, and that is how universe works. If you really want it, you couldn't put it aside. And everything, because it was not ego-driven, then it's natural and it fulfills. And it's not so important to translate to have a huge bank account, but a poor soul, because what you planned is just, I want the experience in life and I want my soul to grow. And that is the most and rewarding thing. And that's the only thing what stays. Like you said, if the industry is changing, you can lose some money, but you never lose that what you achieved for yourself.
Yeah, it's an inner peace kind of. And I got some more things I was allowed to learn. I became a yoga teacher out of love, because I really believe that certain techniques, certain things can help us tremendously. Also like meditation or different, you know, things, whatever you find good for yourself can always be very interesting. And well, yeah, and it's interesting what you said about children, what people don't do for the children. I don't want to judge other parents, but what I really see is, you know, luckily my husband and he shares the same opinion. The child is very explorative. You know, he wants to explore, and he imitates you. So,
yes.
And when we're out, and he was climbing on some on a tree. You know, like he was climbing up from. And there was this guy, he was watching, and he said, "Oh, you know, this is very dangerous, and he couldn't fall down." And then my husband just politely answered, "No, no, he's done it before. He's fine." "Oh, it's terrible that we have parents like that." He was really, I don't know what problem, but it was so negative. And then, and I thought, wow, this is, I mean, you know, this is incredible. How and he said, "Take your child down." And I would never, you know, if I would just pull my child, he would say, "No, mommy, don't do this to me. Why do you do this?"
Yes.
This is not how you treat your children. Is this
it is not about the children. It's about his belief system. And now
you were brought up his
belief system. Yeah. And then you're the enemy for him. So,
yeah. And that was
emotional
really
stress, and one that the outside changes, that he has less emotional stress. And that is not working anyway. Yeah.
No. And then it's hard to judge, because then my husband got a bit irritated. He said, "Please, this is not your business. This is not, you have to stop this." And this is correct, because, but it's, again, it's not where the root lies. I don't know how he was treated, but the root lies where, you know, when children, we live in a city, so we go a lot into the forest, because this is the best for everyone, I think, to find some peace. But the children are not, you know, growing up like in the country, you know, so in the countryside, they have much more freedom. There's no parent, because the parents are working. They cannot watch children all day long. So the children are just occupying themselves with other children. They jump down like hay, whatever, mountains, and they try different things. And they are not like here. So we have to offer our children a platform where they can feel free, where they can really, and they don't need many toys, actually. The kids, it's very interesting. They don't really need that. We got a lot. We didn't ever buy him toys, because we got so much from the relatives, but they really are just not so interesting, you know.
I grew up early in the 50s. We didn't have so much toys then.
Okay.
But it was more happiness, because if I look around here, my apartment now, Oh, so there's so much stuff, and it doesn't bring joy. Material stuff never brings inner fulfillment. And
No.
today, if you bring them to the shop like Toys R Us or whatever, the big, they are just stressed.
It's true. We have, I mean, of course, we use some toys. We have some toys. And sometimes he plays with a. I remember he was playing with some, a bus or traveling bus, and there were suitcases, but they're just, they just look like little suitcases, but you cannot open them. And then he said, "What is this?" I said, "This is a suitcase." And I said, and they said, "But I cannot open it." And I said, "Well, you just have to pretend it's a suitcase." He said, "Well, that's boring, Mom." I mean, I thought, so interesting, you know. I thought, yeah, for all he's bored, he just loves maybe a real suitcase and he just packs things and, you know, and that's what he occupies himself all the time. Like he builds, I don't know, he builds streets with toilet paper, or he, you know, and then we used to, maybe we tend to say, "Oh, but this is toilet paper. You don't use that for." But then I thought, but we buy expensive toys and say, "You can use that," but we don't let our children use toilet paper. Why not? I mean, you know,
And it's,
and this is, yeah.
that's the way our creativity, how we develop brain cells. And
Yeah.
it is the most important for us humans in the early age to create enough brain cells. And looking at the future, whatever the future skills, what we need in the future is not just follow like we had education so far, be trained, limited to a concept that you can work
Yeah.
at the conveyor belt. And that's no.
True. We have to change our working system, and some people are scared to lose the job when they say, "Oh, machines are taking over." But if machines are taking over, and if we have more time for children, not so much under pressure with things we have to do, because in the past, people would maybe work like 3, maybe 4 hours a day, doing things that needed to be done, and then they're just family. They have, you know, they're just doing things together. And today we have washing machines. We have robots and cleaning floor. You know, we have all kinds of things, but we have less time. So what's going wrong, right?
We are not more happy.
We don't, and we think we don't have time. So I mean, I was so attracted by, you know, Michael Ende, the Never Ending Story, the writer, or Astrid Lindgren, who just realized that many, many, many years ago already, saying, you know, we need to have time for our children, and that's the most precious gift. And if we're saying, okay, machines are taking over more and more our work, maybe we can get an even, you know, more successful industry growing.
Well, this is an
And more.
interesting topic. What do you think about these, when we discuss it in some countries, just because of change also, give everybody a special amount of money if they work or not. Yeah, so it's a kind of basic unconditional income.
Income. Yeah.
You can just play, theoretically.
That's an interesting idea. I'm a bit split up on this side. I'm a bit mixed up with no, but I'm it's hard for me to say, "Oh, well, this is great or this is not great," because I think we need, or most of the people want to achieve something from their own, right? So most of them, I think, want that's our need. And I've seen that when I traveled Africa, for example, and I met this woman who was also unsighted. She couldn't see, and she was so proud that she was the lady for the water pipe. She was, you know, in control of the water, who gets the water. And so I've seen so many people. They want to achieve something. They want to contribute, let's say. You don't have to be like a star. You don't have to become, you know, you can contribute whatever is in your, you know, what you like to do, contribute. And this is what we like. And if I was just, I'm just wondering, if everyone gets the same amount, is this then being taken away? Do some people say, "Oh, then that I don't have to do anything anymore," or do people then say, "Oh, now I have a basis. Now I can achieve things. Now I can be there for my child, and I could do other things." So this is, I think, a problem that makes me think. I don't know if it's a great idea, but you can let me know what you think. But
It is always on the level of duality where we're living. With, let's say simply 50% of the idea is good and 50% of the idea is bad. At the moment, I'm not really a friend of it, like the system is. Because if you look at, or whatever, maybe social welfare, or in Germany, Hartz IV, or whatever, is a kind of already income you don't need to work for. Yeah, okay, you need to file a paper out of it, but
And
it
then they're fine.
doesn't
They want to
show that
be,
the
right?
people are really happy. So
Yeah,
if
no.
people are still in the victim moods, like if we talk about your son, what he is naturally living and giving those kids a kind of safety net that they can explore and not need to be afraid all the time. What if then maybe they don't sell the soul like other people do? So there is something value besides economics. We see what it costs in Germany to have all these bureaucrats with the welfare system. And so if you cut that all off, it's so much easier to give people money. Yeah.
It's true. It is a great privilege, but it shouldn't be a privilege, but that I don't have to rush in the morning. If I feel my son is still, he doesn't want to go right now. If I rush him, then he, of course, he feels the stress. And with 3 years old and you bring him to the playgroup, he likes the playgroup, but it probably doesn't want to be rushed, or he wants to eat something here because he feels more home here before we bring him. And if I have to, though, rush into an office and I have to be there at 8 and I have to bring them, then it's not good for the children, right? It's not good for the whole family, probably. And they're stressed and then they don't see their partner there. So there must be something done.
There must be something more valuable or different values of living together.
Yes.
What
because we want
humanity or human.
Yeah, exactly. Because we want our children are the future. They are our politicians. They are our new teachers. They are, the people who make decisions for this country, for the world, for the environment. So we need to give them a lot of time and patience, right? But then, of course, we're forced, to maybe not do it, or we organize ourselves, but not everyone is, is able to. So this is probably something we have to give. But then it's not just, we give you the money, you can stay home. I think also kids, they want a structure. They want you to do something. No, it's also that we have to learn about, what children need. Yes. We have to, there needs to be, it's not just about, we just send you some money and you can do it. And that's, we have many, many children in need. That's why, also emotional, because the parents do not have the knowledge, I think, the knowledge that is required. And
the kid doesn't have the knowledge because I see this is more a kind of disconnection. In the English language, says we have this common understanding, so common sense, but it's unfortunately not that common.
Common sense, which is not common. That's good. Yeah.
So and it is because the parents are already under stress, and if the parents are under stress, the child gets it. But what you're sharing is, like, if your kid can really grow and experience and learn, then it can, like I said, get different synapses. And we all somehow complain about the system we have at the moment. It creates so much sickness, so much poor people. There must be something wrong. So forcing kids in the same education will never bring us out of this. We never get better ideas. We get maybe fightings. But we know, coming back also to the level of duality, where a task or a problem must be a solution. But therefore, you need to be open to totally different solutions that we can have a society where the kids really can blossom. Like a lot of people have a kind of greenhouse in the garden, unfortunately, always a little bit away from the house. So they take care of the plants. And then you look at their living room and their bedroom and think, oh gosh, why they're not doing it for themselves. That they really blossom. So that is the most important thing, and that is a society topic and not just...
Of course, it is. But it is also that it used to be bigger families. Now we're fortunate to have a garden, but, they're forced to live in little apartments, people. Maybe mother, father, and one kid or two kids. And what do you do then? There's a balcony, maybe, and then there's a street, and that's like, this is not how we're meant to grow up. Meant to grow up, we need a village to raise a child. It used to be, and in other countries, it is like that. So it is, because it is a tough job for a parent.
Yeah, and there was problem now in the COVID rules, especially if you say what the kind of, in German, we said Bildungsfern, so the families who are not really in education, not maybe having enough books at home or whatever. And those kids needed to stay 2 years in this small room where they couldn't increase it. And it will be a big disaster for the future in the Western society.
It is. And children have a lot going on in the first years when their brain is growing. and they need to walk all these streets to get familiar with this, and the streets of in the brain, let's say, and or the path. And so we need the time, but then again, as parents, it can be challenging because the kids get a temper, because they don't know it yet what's going on.
Yes.
So sometimes we need the support of like other families, other kids, and this is not happening in our society because we live. I mean, there's so many singles. Never been, so many singles before. So it's the problem where this is going, right? And we have to also be overcome our fear. Like, oh, I'm too shy to ask my neighbor. Can you maybe take the child for an hour so I can just have a, or can we just work in groups and stuff? And so it's very interesting, but we have to really try to get more into this direction. And of course, then people say it's not realistic because I have to work. I have to get food on the table. I don't have time. But we have to work on the whole system, also the school system. So we have more time for children. We have more affection. We have more peace. So it's just like, of course we can do this first. No problem, then because children don't have a sense of time yet. And it's good that they don't have a sense of time yet because, it's all anyway later to. So we're a society which we want to have goals, we want to achieve, but we can also achieve by not like pushing it too much or by not being too nervous, not like inside to have a certain piece that we achieve them. We step by step, it will happen. It will definitely happen. And look at the society as we are all dependent on each other. People say, I can do everything by myself, or you cannot see, so you must be very, very dependent, or you have to always need someone. I said, I don't think so. I think we all need each other.
Yes.
We all need, and I need that when I'm on stage, I need the technicians. Without them, it wouldn't work. And our child needs us because he looks for advice. He looks for direction. And later on, he will do the same for his children. So we all are connected.
Yes. They're very good. Let's make a short break.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So, Johnny, you just talked about what we need. Let's say we have now really the possibility to decide how children should grow up, education system, kindergarten or whatever. What do you see? What is important for the future? What could be different that we create more powerful kids that they live their true nature?
I think it would be great. It would be fantastic if we all could have the so-called the kindergarten that is in the woods, in the forest kindergartens. So if we could all have systems like that, that children do not go inside, they all go outside. They could have also like huts outside. It doesn't have to be like simple, but just that they go outside in the morning, they do something together. Also, no matter what weather, of course, if it's really super wet or super cold, but no matter what, because that's how life is. That's how nature is. It's always different. It can be fun. And you learn to deal with the right clothing. It's not a problem. And the children, have to be taken there. So there's a certain effort from the parents, and they get their energy sorted first. They get their brain sorted. Mm-hmm. This would be fantastic. Then I think really, I think this is one of the biggest steps. And also school system. I was very inspired by a fantastic journalist from Berlin, Verena Frederica Hazel, her name. She's visited schools in New Zealand, and she discovered, as she wrote about, the best school system in the world. And she, I think, does a lot for the school systems here, hopefully, because she's trying to inspire. She took her children there. And also in New Zealand, they have totally, profoundly changed their school system. And it is a school system with rules. It's not like, oh, we're always on the beach and we... But it is more an approach of, oh, you lost a tooth today. The teacher says, oh, you lost a tooth today. So how many teeth are in your mouth now? So this is already math, mathematic. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, we go... I brought a suitcase and I've packed many different things in there. Or let's discover where they come from. So this is history. And then or later on, they had on Twitter, they had they discussed all the same book, all the same book. So everyone has read the same book, and they all discussed it. Or they had when they were older to learn to be for 2 days totally alone in a forest without a phone, without any, you know. And the teacher is nearby, so you can make a sign in the morning and the evening if you're fine. But they learn to be with themselves. And this is also a fantastic lesson to learn to be with yourself, not like to get bored with yourself.
Yes.
I'm not saying boredom is good for creativity. It's not like you have to occupy your child constantly and give them an iPad. No, it's just that I'm fine with myself. I'm discovering things. I'm walking around. I'm listening to the birds. And these lessons are, plus I also would add, I love to see in schools economic lessons, not like, and what happened in the Second World War and the economy went down and because of the World War, it went up again. No, it's like really what it is about to, for example, if you want to take a loan, what's important and when do you really need to take a loan and when not? And also cooking lessons. I think we don't cook enough. I find myself learning now more.
Lessons about food, yes.
Food. What to cook better because I have a son and I don't want him to eat frozen pizza. You know, I think no, maybe good enough for myself in the past when I was working, but no, I want to be an idol for him. And we're not doing this, you see. So, this is something we should, or maybe some handy stuff, how to fix things, because it's much cheaper if you can maybe, you know, if you want a house or if you have your own property, if you can fix things or even in your own home, whatever, you know, if you just rent a home, but it's just great. Or if you can build a bed. I have a friend, she said, oh, we want to convince our son to sleep in his own bed. And we now built him together with him a little bed that looks like a car. So, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, this is probably a bit, you know, too ambitious, but I was just thinking, this is fantastic. And if we can learn things like that, like, and I see on my, with our son, he wants to fix things constantly. Yesterday he said, and he's 3 years old, he said, but mommy, there are two light bulbs that are not working. I want to repair this. And he said, and that would make Papa happy. And I thought, wow. And that came from him. I didn't say, oh, we, you know, so these are things we have to learn to fix things that will make us happy. We have to learn to get good food and not like, oh, this is the best offer on the cheapest meat and you know, and because we have all this competition in the supermarkets. And this is, I mean, this is big goals, but you know, I think this is where it starts. And this is not easy. It's not easy, but this is where we should.
No, because if you just look at the surface to change something, it's always hard. But if you go deeper, what is the intention? And like Singapore has a law. Really, there is a level for kids that the country says we are responsible that kids never fall below a certain level of care.
Because they help, they need us.
We don't have this. Like, we just talk about kindergarten, but are you aware? Because I didn't realize it early enough. They don't use the word kindergarten anymore in Germany. Well, some elderly people, maybe like we do this, but it's not called kindergarten anymore. It's called Kinderhort. So it's where you place them and someone takes care. A garden is something where you can grow. We cancel already garden. Like, we don't have, people unemployed, they need to go to the job center, né? In English, center. So what is this all? So the deep intention, are we really interested in the health, the joy of the kids? And that is a big difference then with New Zealand. They made a different decision.
Yeah, they did.
And suddenly it is easy.
Yeah.
See the possibility.
Because it's not easy for our parents, as parents, to say, oh, we have to bring our child when it's 6 months old, 1 year old, we bring it to some, I don't know, care center, let's say.
Yes.
We wouldn't have done that because we thought, no, it's not possible because they're crying. No, and no one can pick them up and comfort them because there are too many kids, right? And there are two people and 12 kids. And so we didn't do that. But some people think they have to do it. And this is where we have to say, no, parents, you don't have to do it. We get a system for you in place.
Yes.
that we can help each other, or we can put, you know, maybe families can connect, or we use this where they just have one person with 3 to 5 kids and this very small group when he was 1.5 because he was very active and we just needed support, you know. But he loved it. He was enjoying that. That's the different situation. And once, and the thing is, we had this so-called luxury, which shouldn't be luxury, but when he was crying, when he needed us, when he really needed, I mean, you know, you have to understand your child. Sometimes they don't want to go because they don't feel like it. Then they still can still go, or we really have a need. So, oh, and we had this luxury that we can say, "Oh, you don't really, you have a need to stay here, so we can let you stay here." But if, you know, parents are forced to go somewhere and they don't have anyone else, and they need this, but we have to change the quality of the system. If you need help from the so-called strangers, from others who are not grandparents. For example, or not, then it needs to be a better system. It needs to be a high quality system. And these people have to be really paid well because they're taking care of our kids.
Yes.
So they shouldn't decide like, oh, if I take 5 kids in my group, I'll get more money. No, I think you have to get in a certain amount. You get this amount no matter how many kids you take. So you make the decision on how much can I handle. And then that defines the quality of the caretaking.
Yeah, you talk about quality and not just quantity.
Yeah, of course. No, because these 3 years are so, it's not just the first year. And some people think, and we don't have time to like nurse our child, to breastfeed, you know. They think, oh, I don't have time and I have this milk that's available. But, you know, I've read things that the brain activity rises, I think, 3 times high when the kid is breastfed than when it takes the bottle.
Yeah.
So this is already starting. I mean, it's always something. This is always a big thing. I mean, you have to, if you know, if there are medical things where you cannot do this, then you're not doing it. But most of the parents are just stressed, you know, and this is also where it should start. And I know this for myself because, you know, you have to learn how to do that. Then you do it. And then you have to have time. And then some parents think, oh, my child doesn't get enough. No, you just have to do it often enough. Yeah, but you need to have time and peace for that. So this is where it starts right early on. And this is where the child gets the comfort and does not fill in his tummy or her tummy with like sweets all the time or with some artificial stuff, which also, again, sweets are sometimes fine later on. But I mean, just to have a substitute for something that you have naturally for your child. Or all these dummies you put in the child's mouth. We never had that. We never used one because, I don't know, why you use something, then you have to take it away from the child. You have to teach it, now you stop doing this because you're big enough not to. So this is, and this is again bad for, well, the confidence because you think, but mommy, you allowed me this before. Now I'm too big, too tall to do this. So. It starts right where, you know, the roots are right in the beginning. And it takes, though, a lot of strength, a lot of, you know, you have to have a freedom of time for that. And I understand it's not easy, but we have
freedom of thinking also and really and doing your own decisions and not looking what the others want.
Yeah, no, exactly. And also, of course, you go away from your own self. I mean, if you're self-centered in a good way, of course, as a parent, you have to learn to think of someone else, and you think of that person first, no matter what, and then you start thinking, oh, well, what am I doing to my environment? Because this child will grow much older, I will not be there, and that's another thing I'm doing when I think of our children. We tend to picture them when they're little or when they're at a certain age, like, oh, I want my okay now my and now my child needs to learn like to behave, or now my child I want to. You know, I want to provide him as many good things as possible, or a good education, things like that. Which all will come anyway. It will come. You're just there every step of the way, and it will come. But I tend to think of the child or our children as when we are not there anymore. When they are old. So when we're growing old,
yes,
it's not an easy process. It's a full circle. We are helpless as babies, and we're no teeth, and we have, you know, and then maybe when we're really old, it's kind of the same thing. So we need, again, support. We need someone to maybe help us over the last step, and, or, you know, over the last threshold, let's say.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of these of children as being old, and how will they deal with growing old? And how will be? And I think that they will have less frustration when they had a you know, happy upbringing, or they have happy thoughts. And this is what the vision has to be, way, way different than, oh, I have to take care of my child now, or I needs to do, or I hope he will become a doctor, or, you know, or I hope he'll. No, it is like, how will they feel when we are gone? And this is, so we have to, you know, think of our environment, think of our future, and think of how will it be when we're gone, and when you know, life continues. And this is where I think it'll all start to make changes.
Yeah, but this is a different thing. You could think, oh, when I'm not gone, I should be a doctor. But what you said, with good education, that is a stupid thing. Because if you look back, a lot of so-called good education is totally obsolete today. And if you just train them on that, they are lost. But what you're saying is also, in the first 3 years, it's so important how we develop the brain. Because if the kids are really great, natural, they can change with the tools and can play with this and they can play with that. Okay, this works not. Oh, I do this business now and everything. But they are always okay. And that is amazing.
The resilience. Exactly. Yes. Resilience. When something doesn't work out for you, it can it happens for everyone. Not everything will go perfect.
Yes.
You know? And if it doesn't work out, then you're fine too. You say, well, that's okay. I'll try something different, you know. And I'll be fine with myself.
I'm not identified with my profession, my education. Exactly.
No, and exactly. And you can still be happy, you know, being out. And I have great role models also in friends. I have a great friend from the UK, Michael. He's living that. He says, oh, you know, when I'm doing this, I'm happy. When COVID was, everyone's like, oh, it was terrible. It's terrible. But he was like, oh, I go out. I take my picnic, you know, I'll do something. And that's great. And that is what really is cool. And still we have the need. We want to give our children everything, right? We think, oh, maybe I didn't have this, maybe my child wants it. But then the child teaches us, you know, that's cool, mommy, but I don't need this. I just need time with you now. Can we play, I don't know, hide and seek or something else? And but I'm just saying, I don't want to sound like I'm putting myself on a pedestal. So I know exactly how the situation is for many, many parents.
Yes.
But I know also that we as parents, or we as people, as human beings, we have the strength. And we have to find the strength to make changes and to even say, I don't need two cars. I don't need three vacations. Yes. Maybe I do less and I have more time with my child, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just make another short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we talked about system, kids, and everything. So coming back to you as a singer and with all your songs, what we just covered, kids and system, how much of this is in your songs?
Well, it's a good question. I just released a song which I dedicated to my child, but also our child, but also to my husband, because I realized it was the greatest thing was to have a family, because it gives you a lot of happiness and joy that other things probably cannot give you. I'm not saying, oh, other people who don't have a family do not have this joy. They have something else. I'm just saying that to compare it to other things that made me very fulfilled. That is really fantastic. And I was doing some big TV event last year in Germany, where that was the Masked Singer. That's kind of global.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic because I could sing live on a TV show. It was quite fun. It was a great time. But then I had a kid who still was growing teeth, and he had a fever, and he was so unhappy. And I couldn't be there sometimes. And it was awful. And I realized, it's for me, not for everyone else. It was at that time more satisfactory to be with my child, to just comfort him. But from there, he grows, of course, and he will need mommy less and less, because he just explores more and more. So, so that's why Just Hold Me Now was the song I did, and we did the video with that, with with even with my son on the video when he was little, because it just happened that we did a video and I was just moving and I went to sing, but then we wanted to start shooting the video, but I had my son still. There was this lunch break and he wanted me to be with him when he was sleeping, so I used to always carry him during lunch break. And he didn't wake up and I wanted to start filming. And I said, but time's ticking, you know? And then the director said, well, why don't we just, I mean, you don't really see the child because the head was close to my chest. Why don't we film him, film it like as it is now? And he said, okay, no problem. He didn't mind, you know, me singing or moving or, and so that's how it happened with the video. And we then figured out this is fantastic. It's a beautiful love song, and it could be a nice thing to just say, oh, you know, how great it can be to have a family, because if it's a happy family, it's really a great achievement, and it's always a work in progress. And then we decided, oh, we mix in the video some other moms and children and you know, throughout the world, and this is how this happened. So it is a part of me, but I also sing a lot of kids songs lately. I work with kids on a children's project, a children's music project, and I love singing and I love performing, but I would, you know, I will think I will step more and more out of that spotlight where I may be personal on stage, but I will maybe work more and more with children. I'm also working on some yoga program for children, and also will you know, I give some, if people ask, if, you know, I'm not really making adverts for it, but I'm doing, you know, breathing meditation lessons and stuff, just because I think I can share stuff that helps others, and I can share that with others. So I think this...
We need another session for that all. We need all in this episode today. And
no.
We want to save a little bit time to have at least one song. You mentioned just the new song with Ernest, and we will show it on so also Winspiration Day. Because obviously we air this after the Winspiration Day, and you were, I mentioned it in the beginning, and you have greetings for the Winspiration Day, and the song I mentioned then, I like to just bring up here before the time is totally over. Joanna, thank you very much. You're so inspiring, really empowering others. It's really a great emotional feeling, and I feel really blessed to have the time here with you, and hope for some more. And we will now just bring the song, I Believe, and you please stay for the song and enjoy Winspiration, and be sure the best is yet to come. We can create an extraordinary future.
Now everybody has a right to believe in their lives. Oh, but we're a long, long way, long way from paradise. If there was freedom, tell me why everybody wants to fight. Oh, 'cause we're a long, long way from paradise. You might be strong enough, you might be rich enough, you might be blind enough to push it all aside. No matter what you do, it keeps coming back to me and you. Give a little bit of love and you get it back. Give a little bit of pain, you'll call it a trap. For every little thing that you say or do, give a little bit of love and it'll come back to you. Your reasons, but are you sure they're reasons to be right? Ooh, 'cause we're a long, long way, a long way from paradise. We must be strong enough, we must be great enough. We've waited long enough, now it's time to say goodbye. We're we got some rules to bend. Too many lessons to be.